This is RJ Curcio from Curcio Law Offices. We are the proud sponsors of the Waddle & Sylvie podcast. Curcio Law is a millennial-led personal injury law firm. We are here to assist the seriously injured in need of an attorney. Call Curcio Law at 312-321-1111 for your free case consultation today. And now, enjoy Waddle & Sylvie.
You're listening to Waddle & Sylvie, live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago, the new home of the Chicago Bears. WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago. A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Are you not at the live broadcast? Watch it on Twitch.tv or the Twitch app. Live from Mike and Denise's in Yorkville, it's Waddle & Sylvie.
This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports, the home of the Chicago White Sox.
So I have plenty of room for you here at Mike and Denise's. So come on out.
Grab a cold Miller Lite.
Waddle's got one. We've got some Sox tickets that we're giving away. You get raffle tickets. We've got a Sox cooler that's a tailgate cooler, too.
It's awesome.
It's in the shape of a Miller Lite beer can. You could wheel it around like luggage. And it comes with two tailgate chairs as well. So a couple great prizes with the Sox tickets being one and then the tailgate package being the other. And then we've got some great T-shirts.
I had a joke, but I just...
Football. Yeah, don't make Sox jokes here. They're a partner here.
Kept to myself.
Save those for later. We've got some Sox T-shirts, Sox cups.
It's the old standby. You know it. I mean, so I'll just, I just keep it to myself. No, I just keep it to myself.
Four for the winner, eight for the loser. Is that what you were going to do?
It's the other way around.
Four for the winner, eight for the loser.
Oh, eight. I thought you said two. Oh, yeah, never mind.
Four.
No, you said it. I didn't. You said it. I didn't say it. It's an oldie but a goodie. It makes me giggle all the time.
There's an old standby joke, too, that you would always tell. Like,
which
one of the downtrodden teams. So I'll go on. You know,
Say Cubs. Just you know.
Jed's coming up in 10 minutes. You say, "Yeah, Eric. I'm really sorry. I'm running. I ran late. I had a really unfortunate mishap. I was an idiot. I parked right outside the studio underneath those CTA tracks, and I made a stupid mistake. I had two tickets to the Cubs game." That I put in the windshield. I had them in the windshield of my car, and I parked right on the street because I had to run up to the radio station before I came out here to Mike and Denise's. So I just thought, because it was 2 minutes, that I didn't have to put them in my glove box, and someone saw them, and they broke into the car. And when I got back, there were four tickets to the Cubs game when I got back.
I love it. It's great. Or I thought it was going to go, they took the car, left the tickets.
Right.
Yeah.
They broke the window and they put more cups tickets in there.
Listen, dad jokes, you know what? They warm my heart. Dad jokes warm my heart.
So, Jed Hoyer coming up. Do you want the results of
what? Yes.
What do you think they were? So,
give me a question.
So the question was, do you approve of the job that David Ross has done as Cubs manager?
I'm going to go 65% say no.
You're close.
60% say no.
Now you're farther.
70% say no.
You're closer. 73%
wow.
say no.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
He has a 27% approval rating. Do you think, and I'm going to share this with Jed when he joins us, do you think that bothers him? Do you think Jed cares about that? Not like, again, no executive really should care or about pressure, but most Cubs fans are out on a fan favorite as managing his team.
Yeah. I don't think it'll play into, you know, their evaluation of the manager.
No, nor should it.
I think anytime the fan base doesn't approve of anything related to the team that you're the the general manager of, I would think definitely it would be bothersome.
No, it was 3,500 people ended up voting on the poll question. So it's closed now. That was yesterday's poll question. I also did a poll question on, this is a fresh one that I just put up, brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers, based on what we were talking about with the Bears talking today to Naperville, saying that Arlington Heights is no longer their singular focus. So I phrased it this way. I said, where will the Bears be playing in a decade? So 10 years from now, where will the Bears be playing? And I gave the options as Arlington Heights, Chicago, Naperville, or other in alphabetical order.
Oh, well, it's Arlington Heights for me, and I think 95% will say the same.
People are still a little bit hanging on to the Chicago hope.
That's gone.
So 70, that's probably least likely. Do you think it would be like Naperville, even above Chicago?
When Kevin Warren said we're only focusing on Arlington Heights, that was a direct shot's the wrong word, but that was a comment that was directed at
Chicago. That the door was closed on Chicago.
Yes.
For them to reopen not being singular is because of Naperville.
Correct.
Not
I don't
soldier.
Think Chicago is. I think Naperville is a more likely destination than Chicago. But I believe that Arlington Heights, with a great degree of, I'd be willing to push in a ton of chips, that the Arlington Heights thing will happen.
You could vote on my Twitter page, at Waddle and Sylvie. We've had 400 votes in about 7 minutes. 73% say Arlington Heights. 16% say Chicago. That's a lot still believing in Soldier or Chicago plan.
That ship sailed, people.
You said ship?
I said ship.
7% say Naperville, and there are 4% believing that they'll find some other place to play.
They spent $197 million on Arlington Racecourse, Arlington Park. Who's going to buy that from them? Again, Carmen made the best point. Who's going to buy that for them in any way, in, you know, a number that comes anywhere close to 197? To do what? So I think, A, they've got a big investment. B, I think it's a phenomenal piece of property where they can do some great things. I just don't think that they like the old Taxaroo game that Arlington Heights played with them.
Taxaroo.
And I don't blame them.
It makes taxes sound way too much fun. It's not Taxaroo.
It's not the old Taxaroo game.
Before we talk to Jed, tell everyone what you did last couple of days.
Well, last couple of days was such a great trip down memory lane for me. Jim Morrissey was the guy who spearheaded this kind of reunion. It was about 6-8 weeks ago. He said, hey, listen, I'm going to try to get everyone together. Jim Harbaugh is going to come to town. Cap Bosso is going to come up from Indianapolis. Jay Hilgenberg, it's his golf course up in Wisconsin. Mark Carrier's joining us. So it was me and Jay and Jim Morrissey and Jim Harbaugh and Cap Bosso and Mark Carrier and some of Mark's mutual friends of Jim Harbaugh and Cap Bosso came and played with us as well. And we it was like we flipped the switch and we went back 30 years and we were all 25 years old. Nobody talked shop. We didn't talk about, Jim's job at Michigan or any of the other stuff. We just laughed and told stories and played golf and had a great time. And it was just Jay Hilgenberg and I together took down Jim Morrissey and Jim Harbaugh for 9 holes yesterday, and then we pushed with Cap Bosso and Jim Morrissey. So it was just a blast. And by the way, I was thinking about this. There's 11 Pro Bowls. 11 Pro Bowls visited by the crew that was up there the last 2 days. 7 of them were Jays.
I was going to say Carrier and
three
and
of them were Carriers, and Harbaugh had one. And it... Me and Cap
Bosso
and Indy? Morrissey.
And yes, was that with Indy?
In 95. So me, Jim Morrissey, and Cap Bosso were the non-Pro Bowl players, but it was just... Cap Bosso was like my locker. It was my locker, and then Cap Bosso was for like 5 years. We laughed for 6 straight hours. I mean, it was just so much fun to go back in time. And
people would confuse you two for the grass and the helmet.
Yes, and we laughed about that as well. And, some of the memories that get a little fuzzy, and then... the story's told again, and then you remember, and we all start to laugh and giggle. And I got there in 89, so I missed a lot of, like, Jim and Jay, obviously. Jay had been there the longest, and Jim Morrissey, Cap Bosso, and Harbaugh were all there. Jim got there in 87, and Cap Bosso got there in 87 as well. But when they were, you know, in the postseason after the Super Bowl, when they would go, they would be practicing and preparing for the playoffs, they'd go out of town.
To Suwanee, Georgia or somewhere?
They went to Suwanee, Georgia. They went to, did they go to Bloomington one time? They were talking about maybe as well. And they, like, it was just crazy. And the stories that they
didn't
had,
have a dome to practice in.
The stories that they had were just legendary. I mean, again, it was so much fun. It's something that I haven't done in the longest period of time, and I'm down on myself for not doing it. We've already made a commitment, everybody, to do it again next year up in Michigan. So, but it was cool to walk down memory lane and share a lot of stories and, you know, kind of catch up on everyone's families and, you know, who's stayed in touch with people. So it was really cool. Was
That's great.
Yeah, we had a great time.
We'll hear more about that coming up. Jed Hoyer, the president of the Cubs, is going to join us. Coming up next, we're live at Mike and Denise's in Yorkville. Come on out and see us.
Waddle and Sylvie are live from Mike and Denise's in Yorkville. Watch on the ESPN 1000 Chicago channel on Twitch.
This is ESPN Chicago, the home of the Chicago White Sox.
All right, we are live at Mike and Denise's. Plenty of room for you drinking ice-cold Miller Lite. And it is the weekend, and man, it feels like summer, and it is fantastic.
It is. It's like 88 degrees
out
there. Yeah,
it's great. The Cubs are in San Diego. They took 2 out of 3 from Tampa, but I am sure our next guest is very happy that the calendar now reads June rather than May. Let's bring him in. He's the Cubs president. He is Jed Hoyer, and he joins us right now on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Jed, welcome to Waddle and Sylvie. How are you feeling today?
I'm doing well. It sounds like you guys are having a better Friday afternoon than me, but I'm doing well.
What's wrong with your Friday right now?
I'm in the office. You guys are drinking
beer, Jed?
Somewhere.
Jed, we're in the office as well. Our office just is probably decorated a little different than yours.
That's right.
Did you get at least good news? Because Jesse was telling us yesterday that he had heard indications was good regarding Justin Steele. Have you gotten good news with Justin Steele?
Yeah, it's been good news. You know, the MRI was really clean. You know, he's got like a very slight, slight strain in there. I think he, just kind of felt something, and it felt at the time when we pulled him that it was precautionary. We're not going to make any IL decisions probably today. We're going to wait and see how he reports to the ballpark. But it was, whenever you leave a game and whenever you get an MRI, there's always a level of anxiety. I think that, given the news that you can get in that situation, it was good news. And hopefully we'll have a better idea over the next day or two how we're going to proceed.
I know you guys have been very happy with him leading into this year, but has he exceeded even your high expectations so far this year, Jed?
Yeah, he keeps getting better. I think part of getting better is just consistency. I think he might have had kind of one clunker all year of a start, but, by and large, he's gone out there and been really consistent, throwing strikes. Obviously, he's really simplified his pitch mix down to, that four-seamer he throws that cuts like crazy, and then the slider. And, he mixes in a two-seamer occasionally to get, to change his look. But really, the pitch mix is simplified. His mechanics are simplified. And he's been excellent for us. And I think that, I don't see any reason why he won't continue just as he matures and as he becomes more comfortable in the big leagues. I think he'll continue to add to that consistency.
Jed, while we're on injury news, what's the latest with Bellinger? And do you believe that it's taking a little longer because he wants to be totally sure because injuries have hurt his seasons in years past?
He's not holding things up. I mean, where our doctors and his agents and his doctors and everyone are aligned in the right thing. I mean, it's a weird injury because like he's hitting all the time. He's doing squat jumps. He's able to do almost everything, but when you have that kind of injury, there's real risk if you keep playing, that injury could get a lot worse. And so, we have to give it enough rest to be able to heal so that he's not risking big injury in the future. And I understand that. No one our side or his side wants that. So, you know, he's on the mend. You know, he's looking at, you know, when he can go face live pitching and things like that already. He's still not able to sprint fully, and that's obviously for a center fielder that's critical. But in terms of being able to hit and doing, you know, jog and things like that, he can do all that, and hopefully we'll get him back real soon.
So he can't sprint. So we're still looking at a little bit here.
Yeah, I don't think it's not imminent. You know, he probably will need a short rehab assignment at some point. But yeah, I would say, you know, listen, we're hopeful he's back soon, but it's not like he's not going to, you know, play against the Padres or the, you know, or the Angels.
Jed, how important is the month of June with regard to how you will view what to do with your baseball team?
Well, I think June and July, I mean, you know, it's been a strange year. We played exceptionally well in April. I think, you know, the frustrating thing for us was that the way we played in April, our record should have been far better. You know, we were one of the best teams in baseball in kind of all facets in April. And, you know, we didn't bank quite enough wins, but we were really good against really tough teams. And then, you know, we were really bad in May. And it's just been, you know, the tale of 2 months, you know, a really good month and a really bad month. And, you know, now I heard you say it in the intro, and I couldn't agree more. I had that thought when the calendar turned to June. I was really happy because, you know, nothing about May was enjoyable from a baseball standpoint. We struggled. You know, our bullpen struggled in high leverage. Everyone saw that. Our offense struggled in high leverage. We lost a ton of close games, and it was a bad month. And now we can turn the page, and you know, we need to play a lot better than that in June. We need to play a lot better than that going forward. But you know, we've done it already this year. We've had a really good month, and I don't see any reason why we can't continue that.
Jed, a lot of people say to me as a Cubs fan, like, oh, Sylvie, you got your expectations too high after that good month. And, like, I expected, like, you guys to play not as good in May, but not never like you did. You're 7-under overall. Are you pissed with that result through 2 months?
Yeah, I think if you had told me it would be 7-under, I'd been really disappointed. I think a lot of the underlying numbers I would have been really happy with. And that has to be the hope, right? I think we're 4-11 in one run games. And, you know, certainly the component stats are better than the actuals. And so my hope is that stuff will start to even out. But yeah, if you had told me that we would be, you know, 7-under, especially after the way we played early in the season, I would have been really disappointed.
The Jameson Taillon signing was one that I know that everyone was excited about. This isn't the guy you thought you were getting. What happened to him so far?
Yeah, I mean, he struggled so far. I thought he was better last time out, and hopefully he keeps building on that. But, you know, it's hard to explain. I obviously, if I could pinpoint exactly, you know, why he struggled, it would be a lot easier to fix. He did have that groin injury after a couple starts, and, you know, it's too bad. I thought the best start he had all year was against the Dodgers in Dodger Stadium. I think that was on the Saturday night out there, and that was the last start he made before that groin injury. And, you know, you never know how that kind of thing, you know, affected him, you know, coming out of that. And he hasn't been that same guy since. So hopefully he's on the up. And, you know, it's hard. You know, I think I've done this for a long time. I've watched, you know, free agent players come in and just set the world on fire right away. And I've watched guys come in and really struggle. And, you know, he's been, Italian's been really good for a while. He's, you know, really three straight. I guess, you know, the COVID season was a little bit of a mini season, but, you know, two straight seasons in 21 and 22 in the American League East with the Yankees where he was excellent. And I feel like there's no reason to think he's not going to keep doing that. That's who he is, and he's a hard worker. But sometimes there's that transition phase for a free agent can be really difficult, and hopefully he gets through that transition phase and gets back to pitching the way he did for New York. And I know he's working at it.
It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. We're talking to Cubs president Jed Hoyer. Jed, can you grade David Ross's performance for us?
I never graded. I think that, you know, I think I mentioned it before. Like we're 4-11 in one run games. You know, we haven't hit in the clutch. We haven't, you know, gotten outs in the clutch. And I think that whenever you lose a ton of close games, which is what we've done all year, I think people want to point fingers at. And why you're losing those close games. People want explanations for why you are. And a lot of times, you know, in our game, that goes to the manager. You know, I can say that, you know, the players love him. I love working with him. you know, every day he's the same guy. And I think part of that is what's going to get us out of this rut and get us back to, you know, get us back to playing well. And I said this publicly before, you know, it's amazing how, like, late in those games when the guy that you call on gets that guy out, you look really smart. When the guy that doesn't get the guy out, people point fingers. And a lot of that's on me. You know, I think we've had so much success here, you know, going out, signing, you know, relatively inexpensive relievers on one-year deals. Those guys come in and have a lot of success. And that hasn't happened this year. And a couple other guys that we were counting on in the bullpen have performed poorly or they've been injured. And I think that's left us kind of short down there. We're working really hard to fix that, and hopefully we will. But I think that's also been really hard, you know, just not having the same guys to call on that he expected. So, you know, I would never grade him. I think, you know, like I said, I love working with him. And as we turn around that one-run game record and that close game record, I think people are going to look at him a lot differently.
You know, when you joined us, you said, and Waddle joked around that we're in our office. I mean, we have a silly job. Yes. We're sitting here on a Friday drinking beer and talking about sports. I mean, you're doing the real work, and you know, we evaluate this stuff. So, like, some of the silliness is, like, we do poll questions like, hey, Cubs fans, do you approve of David Ross's job? And in that poll question, 3,500 Cubs fans voted, and he only had a 27% approval rating. I know, Jed, that you're not in, you don't, you're not supposed to worry about what the fans think. But when you hear that, what is your reaction?
Probably the poll would have been a lot different if we'd done that on April 30th, you know? And, you know, I feel like we had a bad month. People react to that bad month, and I understand that. And that's just that's the nature of being a fan. I mean, listen, I'm a fan of sports outside of this, and I understand that, like, that's the beauty of it. But ultimately, you know, the people in my office and the other coaches and the players, they see, you know, what happens behind the scenes, and they, you know, they see what happens, you know, every single day down there. And like I said, he does a great job.
Jed, I know you've got more important things to do, but have you ever voted on a Twitter poll at any point in your life?
Be honest. Come on now.
Regardless of what the question was, regardless of the sport, have you ever voted on a Twitter poll?
I have not. Okay. I will say this, I was on Twitter for a long time, and I finally did. I just took it off my phone, mostly because I found that I was, like, the number of hours I was, like, you know, I'd sit on the couch and be reading news or reading articles, and just I found, like, the scroll was, like, I'd look up and it'd be 90 minutes later. I'm like, oh, what am I doing? So not for, you know, I
have kids.
Find
I have other things I've got to do.
Yeah. So anyway, I haven't. I found it to be an addiction that I had to finally kick, because I understand how addicting it can be. But I was never a poll voter.
All right.
Okay. Gotcha.
You mentioned being a sports fan, and I know you follow football. So Robbie Gould, of course, the Bears' all-time leading scorer and a guy who never missed a playoff kick and was most recently kicking for the 49ers, has been doing some shows with us this summer. So he's been getting in on the fun, and he follows the Cubs and Sox very closely. We had a bet on the air a week ago. And Robbie and I bet he believes you guys are going to trade Marcus Stroman by the deadline. I believe you guys aren't, and you guys are going to extend him at some point. Who has the best chance to win the bet?
That's the most amazing way to ask that question. That was awesome. That was a great lead-in. Yeah. You got to put Robbie Gould's resume on there and everything.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, to legitimize his perspective.
Yeah, I would just say this, like, Marcus has been awesome for us. He's, you know, been everything and more, you know, for the guy that, you know, we signed him, you know, kind of felt like, you know, right before that, the lockout started, and we couldn't be more excited about it. And he's been terrific as a teammate. He's been terrific as a pitcher. And, you know, listen, going back to what we talked about before, like, I'm glad it's June. You know, I really want us to play well. You know, these questions about, what we're going to do with the deadline, they're valid questions given how we played in May, but, like, ultimately, like, it's our job as a team to turn those around and make those irrelevant.
How far do you believe, Jed, that you guys are from contending? Because, like, as a fan, I want to start keeping some of these. Like, I love when you guys make a good flip and you guys get good prospects back. I love some of the, in retrospect, I love some of the deals that you made for some of the core pieces. Like PCA, we're excited about. Like, in the moment, not a lot of people loved it. But, like, with Stroman, for instance, like, that's a piece that a lot of Cubs fans want to keep. So, I guess this is a long-winded way of asking, when is your goal to be a true contender?
Yeah, I'm not gonna answer that directly. I'll just say, like, I'm really excited about what we're seeing in the minors right now. The pitching development has been outstanding. I think, you know, certainly since I've been here, we have the most minor league pitching talent that we've had, and the position players are doing well. And I think, you know, that's why, you know, in this job, like, certainly what matters is what happens in the ballpark I'm looking at right now. That's all that matters. But, like, all the things that happen behind the scenes are what lead to, you know, having a great team for a long time. And I feel incredibly bullish on all of those things. And I understand that perspective you have on the flip deals, because you're right. Like, you know, you look at a guy like a Ben Brown from last year, and everyone's throwing terrific in you know, Iowa now after being great in Tennessee, and people are excited. And we have him because we made a hard decision. But you're right. Like, eventually you want to be on the other side of that transaction. You want to be, you know, being aggressive at the deadline. And believe me, you know, there's nothing I want more than to be on the other side of that trade. I look forward to that. And we're working as hard as we can to get there as quickly as possible.
Also, from the creative question category, hypothetically, Jed, there will be a generational talent available via free agency this offseason. Do you have the financial capacity to be a true player for said hypothetical free agent if that materializes?
Yeah, I don't think I can hypothetically answer that question, but I will say, yeah, I look, you know, listen, it's there's nothing like it. You know, like, we're not going to, you know, we've never seen this in our lifetime. Certainly, people talk about a generational talent, but it's actually far more than that. We haven't seen this since Babe Ruth, and what he's doing is really special. And, you know, I'll be out there next week. I look forward to watching it in person. You know, it's really, it is something that, you know, I hope people cherish what he's doing. And I hope more people do it in the future. Like, there'd be nothing better than this spawning something new, right? Like, I don't see any reason why other people can't do maybe even a lesser version of this in the future, you know, close in DH or do something else. But, like, I hope he, you know, changes our sport in that way. It'd be wonderful if guys could do both. You know, we were talking about this in the not too distant, you know, past, about just, like, you know, when I was a kid, you had Brian Jordan and, you know, Deion Sanders and Bo Jackson, and, you know, he's sort of doing the baseball version of that. It'd be great if more athletes could be able to do that again.
Well, yeah. Jed, we were talking about that in the pre-show meeting yesterday. Like, always the best Little League players were your pitcher and your shortstop. Why did they stop pitching? Like, and do you believe now, like you said, that maybe now a guy like that hypothetical free agent that we talked about, yeah, will push them more to keep on pitching and be a positional player?
I hope so. You know, I hope, you see in college, you'll see guys that do both, are two-way players, and, you know, eventually we all sort of, like, they pick a side and go forward. And listen, you have to be really incredibly special to be able to do both at this highest level. It's one thing to do it in college. But, yeah, listen, there's going to be more special athletes that come along, and it'd be great if we didn't discourage it, because I think that there's something really awesome about the fact that, yeah, he's playing Little League, right? He's the three-hole hitter hitting homers, and he's, you know, throwing the hardest, and he just happens to be doing it at the highest level.
Well, and it makes sense, too, because if you excel in both areas, someone will show you the money, right?
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? It's really cheesy. It's a Friday, Jed. This is what happens
beer,
on Friday.
Beer's talking right there. Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. You know? It's early. Hey, rules changes. Have they accomplished the intended, you know, goal from your perspective?
I think that the clock has been fantastic. I really do. Like, yeah, there's the occasional, you know, frustration or hiccup with it. But by and large, I think it's hard to complain about the pace of the game. I think it's been really good. You know, we've had some games that are really quick, but it just doesn't feel like you have as many games that you feel like kind of drag. And so I think the pitch clock has been great. You know, the other rules, I know there's been some articles saying that, like, haven't, you know, sort of changed the game as much as intended. But I think
I think these are the first step in a larger set of changes that hopefully can get the ball and play more and increase the action in the game and things like that. So I think it's a great first step. And I guess on the clock, like I said, on the clock, it'd be hard to say it has been anything other than a really big breath of fresh air.
Did it play a role in how you decided to kind of build your team this offseason, knowing that the changes were going to be put into place, no shift, so your defense up the middle has to be exceptionally strong?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the way the baseball was played for a long time. I always joke that, yeah, we have better positioning now than we did before, but for the longest time, you only shifted the true superstars. And I think that, being really strong up the middle is a fantastic thing. And we are, unfortunately, it's been a while since we had sort of both, Nico and Cody on the field at the same time, but, hopefully we can get that back and be exceptionally strong up the middle, which is really a powerful thing, especially with, I think, our pitching staff. We're not a huge strikeout pitching staff, so we need to convert balls in play and outs as much as possible, and having really good defense helps that.
Jed, going forward, the bullpen, it's something that you've been pretty straightforward about, and you've been accountable, wishing things were better. Do you have plans for that going forward?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about that, who can we bring up? How can we change the mix? How can we, turning the microscope internally, the guys we had that have had success in the past, how do we get them to pitch better? And certainly, there's no lack of urgency to do that. I think they're trying to get guys, like I said, optimizing the guys we have, and then trying to think about, how we can continue to make sure that we run different guys up here and give different guys a chance. We're having all those conversations, because certainly, there's nothing more comforting than having a 2-1 lead in the seventh and feeling very comfortable that you're going to win the game. And it hasn't been the case so far, and we need to change that.
Finally, before we let you go, all the talk has been about these Taylor Swift concerts in town.
Yep.
Is there anything that you're willing to admit that you spent excessively on, whether it's been a concert ticket when you were younger or a sporting event or something that you're willing to spend and experience a ticket on in the future?
So I've had this conversation a number of times recently about this exact thing. For better or for worse, one of the perks of this job is you end up getting tickets to different events just because you're in the sports world. And I probably haven't taken advantage of that to go to enough different sporting events. But in terms of what I would pay, to me, the thing I would personally pay a lot of money for is a game seven, and really in any sport. I just think that's the kind of highest level of sports. And I think there's something different about a game seven than there is about a Super Bowl or a football game, because I do think that there's a buildup and there's a history and there's a back and forth that leads you to a game seven. And I think that adds to the drama. So yeah, I think for me, if I was ever going to spend excessively on a ticket, it would be to a game seven. Cause you might see history. You might see something you saw in Cleveland that night or other, great game sevens. I mean, I was on the losing end of one when Aaron Boone hit a home run in extra innings in the game seven. And, if you spend a lot of money to see that, it's a nice comfort to know you're going to see highlights of that exact thing, for a long time. So for me, it'd be a game seven. A concert, I feel like unless somehow I knew this was a person's final concert, I think it'd be hard because you'd probably be able to see that person again at some other time. So I can't see myself spending excessively on that. But on a game seven, I would.
Well, if you bought a ticket to Game 7 between the Heat and the Celtics, you ought to ask for your money back, because that game was just garbage.
that game was – I mean, give the Heat credit. They're a really, really tough group. And, I admire the fact that they've been willing to build a team a little bit differently. They've been open. They evaluate players differently. And, toughness, both physical toughness and toughness, mental toughness, is something that they rate and they put the highest premium on, and I think that they've showed it throughout the playoffs. They've won these huge games. They've won game ones on the road and game sevens on the road, and it takes some toughness to do that.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, I know that you look to different sports and try to glean different things from how different people run their businesses, and it That Miami Heat, Sylvie and I have talked about this. Like, that may be the gold standard over the course of the last X number of years with Pat Riley in charge.
Yeah, Theo and I had lunch with Eric Spoelstra probably in like 16 or 17. I don't remember what year it was. But he came to Wrigley. We had lunch with him, and it was unbelievably impressive. And what I really, I mean, he's exceptionally bright, charismatic, but what I really took away from that conversation was that like, they are kind of running their own race. They evaluate players the way they want to evaluate them. They know what they're looking for. They know the kind of guys that will succeed in their system. They know the kind of guys that won't succeed in their system, and they stick to it. And I've always, you know, really rooted for them after that conversation, because I think that it takes a lot of courage to zag and to walk away from certain players that everyone wants and say, like, that's not our kind of guy. And they do that time and again, and it's worked out. Like I said, it's really impressive.
It's good stuff.
It is.
Jed, we always appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thanks, Jed.
We appreciate it.
Hey, have a great Friday. I'll see you.
There you go. There's Jed Hoyer, Cubs president. A lot of good stuff there. Justin Steele, he said clean report. It was what Jesse reported yesterday. He's confirming that there's still no real timeline or plan. They're going to wait to see him at the ballpark. Bellinger, as you heard, he's going to be at least out for the next couple of series. Then they'll go from there, so no imminent return. But they do think that he'll be back, like, still soonish.
Yeah, and that's, listen, they've got some decisions to make. And I know that the trade deadline isn't until August, and you got the full month of July. But if you have a crappy June the way you had a crappy May, your decision's going to be made for you on a number of fronts, I think, before you even get to July.
Yeah, the Stroman thing is going to be interesting. Let's react to some of the things we heard there. There were some things that still – there was one answer that still – I don't understand why he won't answer the question with a straightforward answer. And I'll react to that coming up next.
Hey, it's your buddy Tom Waddle here. Let me tell you about the best banking team in all of Chicago, our friends and partners at Wintrust. And just like a perfectly designed play, Wintrust creates a game plan to help you reach all of your financial goals, like a checking account for your family, a first savings account for your kids, financial planning for your retirement, or a loan for your local business. Whatever the need, Wintrust has the right game plan for you. Wintrust, team of bankers, lenders, mortgage experts, and wealth and treasury management professionals all stand ready for any play life throws your way. So come check out Chicago's Bank, and when you open a new Total Access checking account today, get a special $300 offer. Visit Wintrust.com/TAC or visit them at any of their nearby locations to get to know your banker. Wintrust, proud to call this city home. $100 is required to open. Requirements to qualify. Must use link to apply. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
The Miller Lite is flowing at Mike and Denise's in Yorkville. This is a Waddle and Sylvie live Miller Time broadcast on ESPN Chicago.
He's not holding things up. I mean, we're, you know, our doctors and you know, his agents and his doctors and everyone are aligned in the right thing. I mean, it's a weird injury because, like, he's hitting all.
How far do you believe, Jed, that you guys are from contending? When is your goal to be a true contender?
Yeah, I'm not gonna answer that directly. I'll just say, like, I'm really excited about what we're seeing in the minors right now. The pitching development has been outstanding. I think, you know, certainly since I've been here, we have the most minor league pitching talent that we've had, and the position players are doing well. And I think, you know, that's why, you know, in this job, like, certainly the. What matters is what happens in the ballpark I'm looking at right now. That's all that matters. But, like, all the things that happen behind the scenes are what lead to having a great team for a long time. And I feel incredibly bullish on all of those things.
I like that he feels bullish on those things, but I think it's weird that with the payroll they could have and with some of the players they already have, they invested in Nico, they invested in Hap, they have Saya. They could keep Stroman if they want to. They have Steele. The MRI came back clean. You asked about Shohei, and they have these prospects coming. Why can't they be a contender next year, and why wouldn't you? And with this division being as down as it is, why can't you say, well, look, with this developmental year this year, we think we're better than we are this year. Next year, our goal is to contend for the division.
Like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Like, I think there are a lot of hollow battle cries when a lot of people say, look, we want to win championships and we want to win multiple championships. There's that fakeness. But there's also, like, when someone says, I can't answer that. Well, what?
I don't even think he said he can't. He said he won't or I don't want to. I don't know. I don't know if.
What was the play at the beginning of that again, Meller? How did he phrase that? Like, again, like, almost like, and Jed's awesome. Like, Jed's willing to answer a lot of questions and then willing to goof around at the end, and he doesn't take anything personal. But he seemed a little put off by that. Like, you're the Cubs. Like, that doesn't fly in Boston. That doesn't fly in New York.
By the way, you've been rebuilding for 2+ years now, right? I mean,
well, since they sold off in 2021. So it will be 2 years this summer.
Okay, so 2 years in.
Yeah, I know.
Now it's time to
like next year they should contend, should they not?
Yes.
Meller, can you play that beginning again? How far do you believe, Jed, that you guys are from contending? When is your goal to be a true contender?
Yeah, I'm not gonna answer that directly. I'll just say, like, I really like,
not gonna answer that. I'm not gonna answer that directly. Well, what? Why?
I have no idea. It's maybe timelines or
well, yeah, because once he puts it out there,
and if they don't achieve it, then
exactly,
listen,
for our purposes, it would be great to have that exact date when he's thinking it, but you know, not everything's linear, and so if he puts that out there, then everything comes back on him saying, "Hey, we're going to win by this date."
Well, wait. It doesn't mean that, like, when they say to contend, it's a hope to contend next year. It doesn't mean that for sure. There are many teams that are going for it that don't. But
the problem, though, Sylvie, is if he says next year, then this year he's got to deal with people saying, "Well, I thought you were contending this year. What were you just writing this year off?" That'll be the reaction.
I think he's chosen to be vague about it for that reason, Jeff. I do. And. Look, I think in casual terms, to say, look, we've got the resources and we're at the point now where we should expect to win.
I think by not even saying that we're willing to contend next year, it shows you that they're not contending this year. I think, like, he's not even willing to say next year.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it a pattern for him? I mean, is that kind of a standard? Has he always answered that a question of that nature in that way? I'm not sure. Like, when they were asked about competing for stuff back, what was it, 14 and 15, what were their answers back then? I don't know, to use it as a reference.
I think once they signed Lester, it was on. So I think maybe their actions in this offseason will tell us, but I mean, like.
I'm with you, Jeff. I think that for good or for bad, I don't think he wants to be pinned to a specific time.
I really think it's about not writing off this year, even though that, you know, if you're looking at it logically behind closed doors, a truthful answer might be, yeah, it's kind of gotten away from him this season. So, and even, you know, I think there's just a public face that you've got to put on for your fans that some people may not, not be completely
truthful.
He's
already looking ahead to next year.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, to me, he's not even willing to commit to the next year. Like, at least put a carrot in front of our nose.
I thought his response to the – I thought he was pretty upfront about responding to Shohei. Like, I don't know if that means that they're going to be –
Gave us a little hope?
Yeah. I thought you should have taken a little hope from what he had to say.
And we could talk about this coming up next. I think we have time to do this next. And then we'll reset and tell you what the latest with some of this Bears news off the field, too, about their actual field. Someone here at the bar didn't know about it, too. So I think for people getting into their car, there is new news on that front. But I should remind you what Jeff Passan told us about Shohei. It may not be in the Cubs' court. So we'll do all of that coming up. We're live at Mike and Denise's. We've got a great crowd. Plenty of room for you. We've got great prizes. It's all brought to you by Miller Lite. Coming out, we're in Yorkville at Mike and Denise's.